Okay, let's get everybody listening. Numbers chapter 31. Numbers chapter 31. Let's look at verse 13. Numbers 31, 13. Let's gather some more doctrinal clues. And Moses and Eleazar the priests and all the princes of the congregation went forth to meet them without the camp. And Moses was wroth with the officers of the host, with the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, which came from the battle. And Moses said unto them, Have ye saved all the women alive? Behold, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Notice, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam. Balaam gives his counsel, and it's done through women. But the subtlety of it all, because I don't believe for one second that anybody who winds up in the lake of fire is going to be glad that they wound up there. No one. So that tells me how deceived and the deception level and the subtlety of what's going on. Okay, go to Numbers chapter 33. Numbers chapter 33, and let's look at verse 50. Numbers 33, 50. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, now watch this, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families, and to the more ye shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer ye shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth, according to the tribes of your fathers ye shall inherit. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. Notice the deception here. When they got into the land, there would be all these pictures that folks were worshiping, and destroy all those pictures and molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. Pictures are images. In fact, Satan has the graven images down to an art today. Folks make pictures lickety-split on their phone and everything, and they worship them. Remember, the making of images, if you worship them. That's what one of the first, these Ten Commandments are. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You don't make on yourself any images. And it becomes idolatry. Okay? So, it's so subtle. It's the levels of depth of subtlety that is just mind-boggling. All right, go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's see some more clues. I mean, what I'm seeing here, it's very clear to me, but the subtlety, it's just blowing me away even in teaching it. Deuteronomy 4, look at verse 14. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. You didn't see what God looked like, his shape, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. Now watch this. Verse 19. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, and the moon, and the stars, even all the host of heaven. What is in the entire host of heaven? The sun, the moon, and the stars. There are no planets. We'll see that when we get there. Planets, the one time it appears in the Bible, is you got Baal priest telling you there's planets. Those are stars out there. It's amazing that everyone says the weatherman will say, oh, the morning star out there is Venus. It's a star. You just call it a star. All right? There's sun, moon, and stars. That's the whole host of heaven. shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. Notice, Moses is warning Israel clearly that you don't want to make all these images, and he's very specific on the types of images, and you don't want to lift up your eyes into heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, should be driven to worship them. People do it all the time, okay? Horoscopes and all that. Why? Because if you worship the creation, and if you make all these images, it's something you made, and you have control over it, you have power over it, and it doesn't condemn you. Same chapter, Deuteronomy 4, look at verse 23. Deuteronomy 4, look at verse 23. I'm sorry, flip the page too much. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, look at it, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. All of this mother has to do with the worship and serving of images made out of stone, wood. They don't see, they don't hear, they don't speak, because the people who make them are then their boss. You see, if you make an image, it doesn't condemn you. It's not the living God. It's not the God of Romans chapters 1, 2, and 3. It's not the God that speaks to all mankind through the witness that he has put in creation. So that's, you know, just... I'm showing you that this mother is involved with images. So if you see a false religious system that when you walk through its doors you have images in it, what is that telling you? You see, but people say, oh yeah, well we don't have those images like that church, the Holy Mother Church. Oh yeah? I can walk into so-called Protestant churches and see your Christmas tree at Christmas time. Wait till we get to Jeremiah 10 and see that. That's even worse. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 5, look at verse 6. Deuteronomy 5, 6. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Clearly, images, knock it off. They're everywhere. It just permeates them. Man is incurably religious. He will be drawn to images and things that are false. False gods, to worship them. As long as that image isn't condemning him, everything works fine. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's look at verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 14. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. I know it's repetitious, and I know it seems very minor. It is not, because God thought enough of it to put it in his book. The gods that are out there, they're out there. There's millions of them this world has. And we'll see when we get to the New Testament that covetousness, which is idolatry. People have modern-day gods that they wouldn't even think of. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Look at verse 2. Deuteronomy 7, 2. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them, thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Why? Look at these mixed marriages of religious beliefs. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. Notice these false religious system that the mother is forming and operating and has leadership over. There's altars, there's images, there's groves. You ever go past a house driving down the street and you see an image in there? It's usually the statue of Mary. And she'll be in a little like cut out little half thing like a stone tomb or something that's open. And they stick her back in there and there's all these flowers around her. I'll tell you, man. Look at verse 16 in the same chapter. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. Don't be serving their gods. Verse 25, the graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them. So these images actually have silver and gold on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. You know, it reminds me, a guy sent me a comment, and he said, of course, among other things, cussing me out, and he said I was full of hatred. Absolutely. I really am. Romans chapter 12 tells me to abhor that which is evil. And I live in an evil world. Okay? Filled with men that call themselves preachers who are evil. Yeah, I hate a lot of things. At least he was smart enough to pick up on that. Deuteronomy chapter 8, look at verse 19. And it shall be, if thou do at all, forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them. I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. I mean, clear as a bell. I mean, look how bad this is getting. What time do we got here? Yeah, not doing too bad. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9, look at verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 11. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And the Lord said unto me, arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people. I thought they were God's people. God tells Moses they're his people. For thy people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made them a molten image. Quickly man will go become incurably religious. Same chapter, look at verse 16. Sorry, just got done eating some bagels. And I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I remind you, we studied already why it was a calf. Look at verse 21. And I took your sin, the calf which ye had made, and burnt it with fire, and stamped it, and ground it very small, even until it was as small as dust. And I cast the dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mount. And he made the children of Israel drink it, by the way. Well, anyways, clearly God's images are all part of this false religious system. It's really starting to take a foothold. All these warnings are there and in repetitious form because God is warning them what they're going to do. And it's extremely important to get this. Now look in Deuteronomy chapter 11. I want to show you something that's pretty amazing. Deuteronomy chapter 11, look at verse 16. Deuteronomy 11, 16. Watch this closely. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived. You see that? And ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. I assure you, every time someone's going to turn aside and serve other gods, it's going to be because they are deceived. And you have to remember something. This mother that's over there in Revelation 17 says, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother. The first quality is it's mystery. It's a hidden thing. It's secret. It starts in the Garden of Eden. It was so subtle. We live in currently in the mystery of iniquity. This world is on a course. And this world's course is called the mystery of iniquity, the course of this world. It's a secret. Satan doesn't tell people what he's doing. The greatest thing he's ever accomplished was to convince folks that heathen preacher got it right. To convince folks that he does not exist. And you all think that. You think, well, I don't know what's going on. You really don't know. It is so obvious. So obvious. Look at verse 16 again. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore, watch this, shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. And you know what's so phenomenal about that? God tells them the only way to avoid deception of verse 16, the only way so that you're not turned aside and serving other gods, is to take that book, God's words, lay them up in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you got to teach them your children. You got to speak of God's book when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you're lying down, and when you rise up. You write them upon the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. That's the only way that you will never be pulled in by this mother. Let me show you something about being pulled in by the mother. Let's see if I got time. Praise the Lord. Go back to Revelation 17. And if you don't think you could, oh, that can't happen to me, I know everything. Revelation 17:5. Well, look at verse 1. 17:1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. That's this woman. She's the great whore, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Everyone in the earth is drunk with the wine of this whore's fornication. And when you're drunk, people can take advantage of you. You're deceived. You do things you're not even understanding what you're doing. Verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. Now, this is John the Apostle, who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And watch this. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Look at this, by the way. She's arrayed in purple and scarlet color, so that's her colors. Do you know of any false religious system on the earth that is arrayed in purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls? Look at this, and having a golden cup in her hand. Do you know of any religious system on the earth that represents this mother that holds up a golden cup in their hand as a sign? In her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. But watch this. And upon her forehead was a name written, mystery. You see, from Genesis to Revelation, it tricks people. It's a secret. It's subtle. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And you don't think you can be lured in? Watch this. And I, verse 6, John, that's John the Apostle, saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. He sees that. She's drunken with the blood of the saints. She's responsible for killing saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Look at this. And when I saw her, look at this. This is John. I wondered with great admiration. This is John the Apostle. Wow. Look at her. He's wondering with great admiration. Look what the angel says unto him in verse 7. The angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? What are you marveling about? You see, she isn't no like skeevy looking woman here. This woman is alluring unto him and drawing him in. What are you marveling at her with great admiration? Let me tell you what, the Lord Jesus Christ alone, Thessalonians says, is going to be admired in that day when he returns. So go back with me. We've got time here? Yeah. Go back with me now to Deuteronomy chapter 12. So I'm just trying to show you that it's alluring. It will lure you in and cause you to marvel. It did to John. So take heed. Deuteronomy 12, look at verse 1. These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. Why does the Bible say every green tree? And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Every green tree. What tree? Because this Baal worship and this worship of other gods took place year-round. What tree is green year-round? Oh, could it be the evergreen? Well, of course it is. It's the evergreen. I'll tell you. Let me just close with one passage. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. It's out of sequence, but so what? Jeremiah chapter 10. You know, in this Bible, people were worshiping the gods under all these green trees. You know what they were doing under those green trees? They were killing their children as a sacrifice for the sins of their souls. Jeremiah chapter 10, this is about 600 plus years before the Lord Jesus Christ is even born. Verse 1, hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain. Look at these vain customs of the heathen. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. Someone goes in the forest, cuts a tree down. They deck it with silver and with gold. Oh, what does that sound like? Silver and gold, silver and gold. What time of year do people sing that heathen song? They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. Sound like a tree stand? They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. I mean, you got to carry them. Do you know of anyone who goes into the forest and puts things in a little tree stand so it doesn't move and decks it with silver and gold and it's green? Under every green tree. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 12. You wonder why it says under every green tree? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. You getting this? See how you're being tricked? All you people out there at Christmas time with your Christmas trees, you're being tricked. When we get to it, when you bow the knee down there and you bow the knee to get that gift down there, that's exactly what they were doing, except 700 years B.C. and even before that, they were bowing their knee down as they slit the throats of their children and put them underneath those trees and sacrifice unto gods. Oh, but you didn't know that. Oh, so you weren't doing anything wrong because you didn't know that. Too bad. You were worshiping the creature and not the creator, and you didn't even know it. Doesn't matter if you knew it or not.